with you this morning, I'm going to spend some time to the lead up before I get to the main point. And I'm very sensitive to the attention span in 2024. So I didn't put everything on the screen, but the story that leads up to it, I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. But we're at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 and 22, and it says the following. The people of the city said to Elijah, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." And this morning, our topic of discussion is relentless pursuit. Let the church say relentless pursuit. Listen, if the sermon series Power has been a blessing to you, if you give the Lord a hand of praise, if Power has been a blessing to you this month, and if you couldn't make it in, if you listen to the podcast up, I pray that it blessed you. But a relentless pursuit means I'm not deterred by obstacles or circumstances. This is the goal, and I'm pursuing this. In the beginning of our clip, okay, this is how old I am. I gotta ask. Most people, have y'all seen this movie? Most of y'all, if you saw the movie, clap. Amen. Now watch this. If you have no idea what that was, you can clap too. A couple of days ago. Amen. Amen. The movie was called Rocky. That was Rocky 3. I know there's a whole bunch, and now we have the Creed series. This is Rocky 3. Rocky 3, and this is Rocky. For those that remember, Rocky was fighting Clubber Lang, aka Mr. T. So the African American man in the movie that we just saw, his name was Apollo Creed. In the clip that maybe you didn't hear, Apollo Creed was telling Rocky there is no tomorrow, pressing him that, listen, you can't take what you want to take lightly. You got to have a relentless pursuit to be a champion. Now, what you didn't see in the clip was prior to that, Rocky, the other guy on the screen that had the yellow tank top, he got beat. Clubber beat him pretty bad. Amen. So you can understand him feeling some kind of way. But when I had us go through that video montage to show you guys the relentless pursuit that he had to have, even in the face of adversity. So we talked about power this month, but I have to be pressing on you or honest with you. I haven't pressed on you a sense of urgency. I have to publicly apologize about talking about God, because when I talked about God and I talked about power, I didn't talk to you about the work that we need to put in. Because you have to follow the Lord if you want to receive the power. You have to trust God first if we want to receive the power. God is not your first or God is not your second or your third option. You have to pursue the presence of God by fasting and prayer and self-denial and helping others. If power is going to be achieved, this is a relentless pursuit. Let the church say relentless pursuit. If we could throw up those terms, those previous sermons. So the first sermon we did was I Got the Power. We talked about exousia, which is authority, the power or the right to act. And then we talked about the power of the moment or power of movement, which is dunamis, that's miraculous power. And last week we talked about power up, energia. God's giving us the energy to do his will. Today, our final installment is around the word kratos. Let the church say kratos. Kratos means dominion or reigning authority. God gives us exousia and dunamis and energy for the purpose of establishing his kratos or his kingdom. The purpose of us getting power is to have the kingdom of God where I am or where you are. To have the environment that we're in to be a place where God is pleased and where his power is evident. How do we expand the kingdom of God? We teach, we preach, we heal, we help, and we cast out. And today we're going to dig into the life of a person. And let me go back there, because cast out doesn't mean I'm throwing people out. Cast out means I'm casting out the demonic and the devil and casting out demon possession. Amen? Y'all can clap on that because this is where we are this year. And today we're going to dig into the life of a person who has the chance to receive God's power flowing through them. And once they have it, they have the opportunity to do something that will cause the expansion of God's kingdom. And I want to challenge you today to have a relentless pursuit of God's power in your life. The relentless pursuit of his authority, his miraculous energy, his energy, so that the kingdom of God is where you are. We should, I should, you should see a tangible expression of God's kingdom in your job, at your home, even in your place of leisure. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure. The opposite of his kingdom is chaos. The opposite of his kingdom is destruction. The opposite of his kingdom is hate. So as we close out power, understand that God is giving us this access to establish his kingdom, but it will take a relentless pursuit. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to be relentless. Turn to the other one that smiled at you because the first one didn't, and say, neighbor, you got to be relentless. You got to be relentless. You got to be relentless. Got to be relentless. So our first point, I only got 2 points, hoop, spin, and sit down. I got 2 points today. The first point is this. Let's take a walk. Let's take a walk. Let's let the church say, let's take a walk. Come on, mean it. Say, let's take a walk. So we're I love you, Sister Shar. We're at a pivotal scene in the life of two people, Elijah with a J and Elisha with an S. They're both prophets, and they're walking. They've been walking together in their ministry, but things are about to change. Let's take a walk. Elijah with a J is about to leave the world. He's about to die. And Elijah with an S is his protege, and he's ready to carry on ministry. Real quick question, who are you mentoring? And who is mentoring you? Who are you walking with, and who are you pouring into as you go through this thing called life? So they're walking, and Elijah with a J is trying to keep himself distant from his protege so he can go meet the Lord in peace and solitude. Some theologians suggest that Elijah didn't want his protege to see him taken up into heaven. Some suggest that he wasn't sure if it was God's will to see Elijah see the event happening. But whatever Elijah with a J's reasoning was, Elijah with a S decided that he wasn't going to take no for an answer. If I'm walking with God, I can't let situations keep me from keeping pace with the Father. Let me say that one more time. If I'm walking with God, I can't let situations keep me from keeping pace with the Father. So he started at Gilgal. He went to Bethel. He went to Jericho, and then they crossed the Jordan River. Let me break that down even more. Gilgal to Bethel was 59 miles walking. Bethel to Jericho is 13.5 miles walking. Jericho to Jordan is 5 more miles. That's 17.5 miles of walking. Can you be relentless and keep walking with the Lord? Quick question, where are my relentless people in the house today? Is there a relentless praise? Ooh. Well, watch this. Like David, it doesn't matter the giant, I'm still going to be relentless. Like Daniel, it doesn't matter the lion, I'm still going to be relentless. Like Esther, it doesn't matter who the king is, I'm still going to be relentless. Like Mary, it doesn't matter what my plans were, I'm trusting God's plan for my life. Is there a relentless praise in the house this morning? The Bible says, but we are not of those who shrink back and destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. If you are relentless for the Spirit of God in your life, put your hands together today. He says they're walking. They're not running, because some of us want to run because we think God is taking too long. They're walking. They're not sprinting, because I'm sprinting, I'm missing the indicators that are happening in the atmosphere where God is trying to give me his will. Listen. If you walk 30 minutes a day, there's an increase in cardiovascular fitness. If you walk 30 minutes a day, you can strengthen your bones. If you walk 30 minutes a day, you can remove excess body fat in the name of Jesus. If you walk 30 minutes a day, you boost muscle power and endurance. That's what happens if you do the physical and walk 30 minutes a day. I challenge you, what would happen if you give God 30 minutes a day? If you pray 30 minutes a day? If you were sat in silence 30 minutes a day? If you decided to help somebody? Listen, it's a relentless pursuit, and we got to walk with God. But when we start walking, we got to start at Gilgal. Gilgal means rolling away. So they start at Gilgal, and Gilgal is important because Gilgal is where, when the people of God came out of Egypt, God says, I'm rolling away the reproach of Egypt away from you. In other words, I'm rolling away the memories or the bad taste that people said when they said you weren't going to get into the kingdom, but you made it into the kingdom. So when we start walking with God, God first is going to have a rolling away process. Well, he begins to roll away the past that used to haunt you and the things that used to bother you, because as I walk with him, I can't carry the extra baggage of the past. Oh, there's a shout in the room. Listen, that's why the songwriter says, at the cross, when I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. When you first start this relentless pursuit, God is faithful to roll away some stuff from your past. If you believe that, give God a praise. Then they move from Gilgal and they go to Bethel. Bethel means the presence of God. So after God rolls it away, and those who are taking notes, I'm starting at 2 Kings 1 and 19 before I get to the focus text. We're going from Gilgal to Bethel. So after he rolls it away, I'm going into the presence of God. So that simply means this. God is faithful that after he rolls the stuff away, if you walk with him, he'll fill those empty spaces with his presence. That simply means this. For those of us who have decided 2024 means new year, new me, and I've decided to eat better, once I see the weight loss in my body, it doesn't make sense to fill the loss with what got me in a bad shape in the first place. It makes sense to fill what I lost with the good things that'll keep me healthy. So what God is saying is once I roll it away, I want you to fill those spaces with my presence. Don't fill those spaces with junk food. Don't fill those spaces with Oreos. Don't fill those spaces with popcorn after church. Fill those spaces with me. Fill those spaces with my love. Fill those spaces with my presence. If there's a praise, come on, come on, come on. So then we move from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho. Jericho is an act of faith. We celebrate Jericho not because of the place, but what happened at Jericho. If you're new to church, there's a story in the Bible in the book of Joshua where in order to overtake Jericho, these men of military might didn't use military expertise. They trusted God, walked around this wall seven times, blew a trumpet, shouted, and the wall came down. So at Jericho, the challenge, if I'm having relentless pursuit, is not to do what always makes sense to me or what is in my expertise, but to do what God tells me to do. Ooh, I know you know how to do it, but what did God tell you to do? I know you know how to fix it, but what did God tell you to do? I know you know how to discipline him or her, but maybe God told you to come in love. I know you know how to fix the finances, but maybe God told you to set this aside and put this toward what I told you to do in faith. If I'm going to walk with him, it's going to take that now walk of faith. He rolled it away. His presence is here, but now Jericho means the walk of faith. Real faith is knowing all the variables and still trusting God to work it out because you're obedient to him. Ignorant faith is not knowing and trusting God to work out what you are too afraid to look at. Deeper faith is knowing the bottom line financially, knowing the rocky situation in my relationship, knowing the township is in need. And when God says, do it this way, and this way is countercultural to my expertise, I'm still going to trust God because now I'm walking with him and I trust God's will over my own. The song that says, we come this far by faith is not a song of failing. It's a song of conquering, because the only way we made it this far is by trusting the true and living God. If you believe that, give God some praise. So we have Gilgal. We have Bethel. We have Jericho. And then we have the Jordan. Jordan is what I like to dub something called necessary changes. Because when we get to the Jordan, that's when the miraculous occurs. When we get to Jordan, first of all, they have to cross the Jordan River. So Elijah with the J crosses the river. He speaks, he lays down his mantle, and the river breaks. And Jordan is where the mentor leaves by a chariot of fire. Elijah's taken up, and the mentee is reborn. After what I see that God is doing, can I trust God in a season of change where what has been good to me has to make a way for the great that God is doing in me. This is not a separation for the sake of removing sin. This is not rolling away, but this is progression that will take passing away, lessons being learned, so that God can do the new things in me that God wants to do. Elijah has to move on so Elisha can move up. The passing has to happen so that mantle can be passed from one person to another. The season of your life may have been good and profitable. The person in your life may have been wonderful. But since you're walking with God, I'm sorry, there's going to be a Jordan moment when what is good has to give way to what is great. And we can grieve what we lost and still hold on to the things that God is presenting to us. Pastor, I'm having a tough time with this. Let me help you. Let me help you with this. I love the kids menu. Y'all laughing. I love the kids menu. I love the kids menu now because the kids menu is affordable. And I have two other mouths to feed. My son's going to be 13 this year. Bless God. He reminds us consistently that I can't get off the kids menu. We're not going to lie because we pastors. But amen. We're going to hold on to that kids menu 12 until we can't hold on no more. But as an adult, I can't keep eating off the kids menu. The kids menu was good when I was a child, but as I progressed into adulthood, I needed more to do what I needed to do with the energy that I needed to have. So the kids menu was fine for that season, but when I was a child, it worked. But now that I'm moving into adulthood and past adulthood, I'm about to hit the third quarter of life, I need to have more than just the kid menu. The kid menu worked when I was a certain age, but now that I'm older, the kid menu won't work anymore. When you come to the Jordan, what God is saying in the name of Jesus is, you can't eat at the kid menu anymore and expect me to walk with you in this place of relentless pursuit. And many of us enjoy the kid menu. Ooh, we love them tater tots. We love them small fries. Those of us who penny pinch love to save a dollar and eat them small little wedges and them small little hamburgers. But God says, if you want the fullness of me, you need to go to the menu of adulthood. If you want the full, it's getting quiet in here. If you want the fullness of me, you got to go to the menu of my will for your life. You can no longer eat off the kid menu. I know he was sad when he lost Elijah, but it was necessary for him to do God's will in his life. So we moved from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan. If we're going to have relentless pursuit, it's not on the screen, but I got to tell you this. Resurgence, I need you to read the room. Let the church say, read the room. One more time, say, read the room. Read the room simply means you need to pay attention to what's going on around you. As Elijah is walking with his mentor, I didn't let you know this, but in the text, there's other prophets that are around. And the other prophets, while they're walking, are whispering in Elijah's ear, saying the following, don't you know that your mentor is going to leave here soon? I am trying to move deeper in the Lord, and you are whispering in my ear, telling me the inevitable that I'm already aware of. If you're going to walk closer with God and have a relentless pursuit of God, you have to read the room and be aware of people that are distractions. Please hear me. People that are distractions aren't evil. People that are distractions aren't bad or haters. People that are distractions just don't possess the focus that you have yet because they aren't pursuing in the same manner. So don't ridicule them. Don't belittle them. But you have to be aware of who they are and read the room. Sometimes you have to know when you have to silence the noise of the distractions so you can focus on the moment that God is presenting to you. Sometimes you can't answer every text message. Uh-oh. Sometimes you can't respond to every DM. Sometimes you can't be up on everything that's happening in the political realm because it feels more like wrestling than it does like changing the country. Sometimes I can't worry about what Cat Williams said this week because I'm trying to hear from God. You got to be able to read the room and remove distractions. And then Elijah is careful not to say what's on his heart prematurely. When he's asking for a blessing, he doesn't ask at Gilgal. He doesn't ask at Bethel. He doesn't ask at Jericho, but he asks at Jordan. Why? Because the miraculous power of God shows up at Jordan. So Resurgence Church, I need you to read the room and be aware when God is moving so you can make your request made known to the Lord. I'm about to move on. This is my last point, and we're going to go to the second one. We're going to go home. When you are making your request known, or if you're making sure you're reading the room, you have to operate in football what's called a timing pattern. You know what a timing pattern is? A timing pattern, there you go, coach, I heard you. A timing pattern is when a quarterback, the good ones, they don't throw to where you are. They throw to where you're supposed to be. Now, the so-so ones can only throw when you wide open, deep bomb pass over the tight. But they say the great ones can throw in tight windows. But the great ones throw to where they know you're supposed to be when you get there. If you're not reading the room and you stop early, the ball won't be there. If you slow up on the route, the ball won't be there. If you get there too early, shout out to my dad teaching me football, you might get your block knocked off because you're there prematurely. But God is saying, if you're going to read the room with me, I have a timing pattern for you. My timing pattern says, when I say move, you move. And I know the blessing hasn't shown up yet, but when Jordan shows up, I'll make sure the ball is there as soon as you get there. So not only can you catch it, but you can run into the end zone for the touchdown in your life. Watch this. Not only can you catch it, but you won't get knocked down when you catch it. You can slide down and be saved. Is there a shout in the room that has followed God's timing pattern? Listen, I didn't go when you said. I didn't go when you said. I went when he said. And you want to know why I'm scoring today? I'm scoring today because I read the room. I'm scoring today because I followed his plan. I'm scoring today because I decided to have a relentless pursuit of God. If you believe that, give God some praise this morning. Then I'm done. This last point, because I'm getting to the text. The last point is find a need and fill it. Let the church say, find a need and fill it. Come on, one more time. I hear Sitara in the left. One more time. Find a need and fill it. Elijah crosses over the Jordan. He has the power because he now crosses the waters and he now parts the river. His mentor is gone. He has a heavy heart, but there's work to be done. His job as a prophet is to speak what God says to those who believe, those who are obedient, and those who defy God. But his job as a prophet is also to do miracles, to help be a help where there is a need so that God is glorified. So when Elijah comes from this high encounter, men come from the town. And men come from the town to let him know that even though this city looks good, the water is bad. Even though this city looks good, there's problems. Even though the city looks good, we need you to help change the atmosphere. Listen, if you're going to read the room, if you're going to find a need and fill it, you also have to be aware of when God is calling you to be a help. When you come from the high and mighty place, you have to be aware of the situation that needed to be changed. Listen, I don't mean to step on toes this morning, but many of us knows what it's like to be like that town. We look good on the outside, but sometimes our water is bad. We wear the mask on the outside, but sometimes we're not producing vegetation. We know what it's like to look at certain tax brackets and believe that just because on the outside it looks good, we don't believe God is necessary there. But how many people know that it doesn't matter how much you earn, God is still necessary? People say, why start a church out in Montgomeryville? God is needed. It got quiet. God is needed. I'm sorry. Can we remove this veil that we believe that God is only needed in the urban context where we can see blight and not know that God is needed in the homes where people are doing well financially but dying spiritually? Families are being broken. School districts are wondering why there's no peace. There's no peace because there's no God. And I'm challenging you today, Resurgence, to find a need and fill it. He says, give me a new bowl, because you can't do the work of God in something that's been used before. He says, bring me salt, That makes no sense. Because anybody who's ever drank salt water knows salt water is bitter. When he says, bring a new bowl, he's talking to us. Because the Bible lets us know if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So that means if I'm in God and since I've been walking with him, he can now use me to find a need and fill it. Then he says, give me the salt. That means I'm going to take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I'm going to take what doesn't make sense and have it be miraculous to make it make sense for me. So Resurgence Church, as the keyboard player begins to play, I need to ask you, what is the need that God has put on your heart to fill? Who is the person that you know is wearing the mask, but their water is bad? Where is the spot in the city, in the town, in the state, in the hamlet where there needs to be a filling and God has put you on assignment to fill it? That means you're going to have to pray with some folks in 2024. That means you're going to have to do random acts of kindness, and when they ask you why, it's not because it was a specific day. It's because God told me to help you. Resurgence, you got to start saying these words to people. Because it's not just about being good. Right now, this is a season of power. And we want him to put his power in us so we can establish his kingdom. And because the prophet showed up to change the water, the Bible declares that the water never went bad again. When the power of God shows up and we allow it to flow, cities can be changed. Townships can be changed. Area codes can be changed. Families can be changed. Individuals can be changed. Your finances can be changed. Your heart can be changed. Your situation, there's a shout in here. Somebody's been waiting to hear this all week. I'm telling you that God is here and he's ready to move in your life, but we are here to make sure that we are finding a need and filling it. After this sermon, you can't walk past the need and say that I didn't know. After this sermon, you can't say I didn't hear. After this sermon, you can't say I don't have access to his power. Yes, you do. The lie from the devil is that I can't be used. No. If you're a child of God, he's waiting to use you. The lie from the enemy is that I don't have enough. Yes, you do. The prophet took an ordinary thing and decided to use it for God's glory. This is the year of power, and it's going to take a relentless pursuit. Why come to church? Because you're not meant to pursue it by yourself. You're going to need another Rocky next to you. You're going to need an Apollo Creed yelling at you. Well, amen. Somebody reminding you that there is no tomorrow. Somebody let me know, procrastination is the arrogance to believe that what God told you to do today you can put off. He'll give you some more time tomorrow. Gone are the days we can operate like that anymore. Because if you're here, this is the year of power. Authority, dunamis, energy to establish his kingdom in the earth. If we can stand to our feet and give God some praise this morning. If this sermon just blessed you, come on, let's give God some praise. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. As the band plays and as the praise team sings the last song that we just did, I'm going to, what we do is extend an invitation for discipleship. 50 Cent word, where we are extending an opportunity for you to know Jesus for yourself. The reason why Elijah is able to pass the mantle and Elisha is able to pick it up is because they have a relationship to God. Everything that we talked about and that we talk about is predicated on having a relationship with God. No relationship, no power. Relationship, even through trials, I'm full of power. believers will let you know that just because I have the power of God doesn't mean that I don't go through troubles. But I go through troubles knowing I'm already conquering over them because of who is powering me. So we are here. Amen. Come on, that's a hand clap in the room. So we're here to extend this invitation for us to pray with you, for us to walk with you. Pastor B is right down here on the side. If you want to accept the gift of salvation, if you want a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are offering that today. You can walk down the aisle, right down the side. If you are concerned about being seen, the lights are dim low, so that's not an issue. If you're also concerned about this moment is too big for you, and I'm afraid, that's cool. We have contact cards out in the back where you can fill them out. I will call you and we will walk through the process of faith together. What we don't want to is to have this moment pass and you don't have a chance to access the greatest power in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My response is hallelujah, hallelujah. You're my redeemer. Hallelujah. Can we do it? You have your rescue, you have my rescue, you have rescue, you have rescued.
You have rescued my life.
I'm having them sing that because we have a testimony of somebody that has happened to you. In fact, I'm a testimony of God rescuing me. Is there anybody here that God has rescued this morning? Listen, the invitation ain't for nothing scary. It's the best thing in the world. And the reason why they sing with so much power, because they know the goodness of God. And they don't want to go back to what every life was before that. If that's you and you're ready to make the best decision you can again, we are here for you. We are here. We'll wait on you a little while longer.
Hallelujah.
You're my
redeemer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My response.
Hallelujah.
You're my
redeemer. Hallelujah.
Let's pray before we head out. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you for reminding us of the relentless pursuit that we need to follow. Thank you, God, for showing us that you are there with us to roll things away, to fill us with your presence, to have us exercise faith, and then for the miraculous to let go of what was good and grab hold on to what was great. And then, Father, during this time period of 2024, show us the needs that need to be filled. Help us not to operate in fear that we aren't equipped, because if we got your power, we can do anything. And God, prepare the people and the situation and the system before we get there, because there's an assignment on the lives of each and every one of us to do something great so that your kingdom is established in the earth. Now, God, bless us and keep us as we leave this place, but never from your presence. We love you, and we thank you for being here with us today. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Let all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise. Take care, resurgence. We'll see you next week. God bless you.